So good evening to all who have come. It's a beautiful evening, and I'm sure everyone's enjoying the weather, and to see that it's still registering 23 degrees out there, very unusual for Northern Ireland. Many people are saying it's like being in Spain, not just as hot as being in your country, Luba. I think Ukraine is much hotter, but welcome to the midweek service, and we're going to begin by singing 689. Tonight is the night that we are going to pray for the children's ministry of the church, and this hymn speaks about the children in the days of Christ, when he said, "Suffer little children to come unto me," when mothers of Salem their children brought to Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. Let's bow together and seek the Lord in prayer tonight. Let's come before the throne of heavenly grace. Our God and Father, we thank thee that there is a meeting place with the Lord himself as we come to the throne of grace. We can draw near there through the merit of Christ. We can stand upon redemption ground. We know that in him we are accepted. And so through Jesus Christ, we approach thee, we seek your blessing upon this gathering and this night, all that is ahead of us in this meeting now, as our thoughts will concentrate upon the children of this church and district, as we come to pray for them later. And then tonight, as we have the extended time of prayer to remember our families, we do pray for the quickening of the Spirit. We pray that each one of us will be made alive unto God, that we will see our responsibilities, both in the children's work and in the family. And may our eyes be open to see afresh those things that God wants us to see. And may our hearts be touched, that we might be truly burdened within. Where there's no vision, the people perish. We know that. There needs to be that constant lifting up of our eyes and looking on the fields that are white already under harvest. All around us, souls are perishing in their sin, going out into a lost eternity. And as the little chorus says, few there are that care. Lord, we want to be a caring church. Individually, we want to be caring Christians. We want to have a view that is seen through the eyes of the Savior himself. Because when he looked on the multitudes, he was moved with compassion in his day. And Lord, we want to be able to see through the eyes of Christ as we look at the multitudes round about us, those that are near and precious to us and those that are more distant that we maybe don't even know. But Lord, we want to be moved inwardly with that compassion that the Savior had. So make us more like him. Help us to be more conformed to his image. We'll see how important that is later on. We pray that you'll pour out the Spirit of God upon this gathering. He is the one that makes us live. He is the one that makes us alive unto the things of God. We pray with the hymn writer, Spirit of God, our teacher be, showing the things of Christ to me. Remember those that mourn the passing of loved ones. We think of funerals that have taken place in recent days, and we think of families that are burdened tonight with sorrow. We pray that Jesus himself will draw near to every aching heart, and that he will go with them, and that his presence will be known, and the touch of his mighty hand will be in their lives to comfort them and to encourage them and strengthen them at this time. So shut us in with yourself and do us good now for Jesus' sake. Amen. 698. It's not a hymn that we've sung often, so I hope a good number of you know it tonight. I think when I read that sweet story of old, when Jesus was here among men, how he called little children as lambs to his fold, I should like to have been with them then. The hymn, put your hand up. Oh, that's very good. We've got at least a dozen, so let's stand to our feet and let's sing.
Thank you.
That was very good. We're going to sing that last verse again. I know you've just going to sing the last verse again, just for our encouragement tonight. And it's not the kind of hymn you can really bluff on, because it goes up, you know, and down. I don't know how many points out of 10 you would give Sylvia tonight for that effort, but I'm sure it was over 5 anyhow. But thousands and thousands who wander and fall. But It is the kind of hymn that when you sing it, and if you don't go up at the right time, people just decide to think you're harmonizing. So that's not so bad. And I'm not too sure what I've done here, but it's easy rectified by doing this. Going too far. Welcome tonight to the midweek service, to those here in the hall, and to those that are tuning in on the internet. We welcome you in the Saviour's precious name. Good to see everyone on this night. We're glad that you weren't tempted to go elsewhere. It's a beautiful evening. You could have gone elsewhere, but you've come to God's house, and that's the best place to be, and to be in the place of prayer with each other. Now, we're having a special extra time of prayer, as you know, this evening. So those that are able to come back or stay on, you can stay on and chat to each other for half an hour or so. But the prayer meeting tonight is at 10 o'clock to pray for our children and families, and that will be completely devoted to those that we know and love. On Saturday, it's the open air in the centre of the town at 11 o'clock, and we trust that many of you, as you do, come and stand with us. On the Lord's Day, we gather for prayer at 8 o'clock, Sunday school 10:30. The Bible class at 10:45. And just maybe to say, as last year, this will finish the Sunday school term with Children's Day taking place, so there'll not be one the following week. Children's Day, 12 o'clock and 7 at the 12 o'clock meeting. Christina Logan will be the speaker. In the will of God, I'll be speaking at the evening service, and the children of Sunday school will take part. And as you know, that was them practicing last Lord's Day. These are the children that God has placed in a very special way in our charge. And it's a mammoth responsibility. And we'll see that tonight, even as we come to God's Word. So let's pray for them. Let's nurture them. Let's teach them and instruct them in the way that they should go. At the evening service, refreshments will be served. Wesley, it's also the prize giving on Sunday night after the service, so we'll have a wee word with the speaker that he doesn't speak too long, so there's plenty of time for the prizes as well. But ladies, if you can help out with the eatables, that'll be appreciated. There's a form here tonight to do with our missionary council weekend, and there are copies at the door as you leave. This year it's going to be in the Silver Birch Hotel in Oma. You know where Oma is. We've gone for a long time locally to the Makara Boy, but it has changed hands, and maybe the very purpose has changed as well. So there was no guarantee, of course, that that hotel would be free. In fact, it probably won't be. So there's a change this coming year. It's the 3rd of November through to the 5th, Friday through to the Lord's Day. And if you'd like to go, take the application form, fill it in, and send it off. We're going to sing together another children's hymn, Around the Throne of God in Heaven. Thousands of children stand, children whose sins are all forgiven, a holy, happy band. I love this hymn. It is sung at least once a year and maybe more in our meetings that are to do with children. And it just speaks of how these children come to stand before the Lord. Why will there be many children saved and in heaven? And the hymn takes us through that biblical account of how they got there. Let's sing with all of our hearts. Be seated. Now let's open our Bibles to Deuteronomy 11, one of the great chapters that deals with the subject that I want to speak to you about tonight for a few minutes, our great responsibilities to our children. And the passage that we read will be a launching pad into the subject. And we'll cover the first point that we want to deal with. We're going to read from verse 13. And we'll read down to verse 25. Deuteronomy 11, verse 13. And it shall come to pass, if ye shall hearken diligently unto my commandments, which I command you this day, to love the Lord your God, and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul, that I will give you the rain of your land in his due season, the first rain and the latter rain, that thou mayest gather in thy corn and thy wine and thine oil. And I will send grass in thy fields for thy cattle, that thou mayest eat and be full. Take heed to yourselves, that your heart be not deceived. and ye turn aside and serve other gods and worship them. And then the Lord's wrath be kindled against you, and he shut up the heaven, that there be no rain, and that the land yield not her fruit, and lest ye perish quickly from off the good land which the Lord giveth you. Therefore shall ye lay up these words, these my words, in your heart and in your soul, and bind them for a sign upon your hand, that they may be as frontlets between your eyes. And ye shall teach them your children, speaking of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt write them upon the doorposts of thine house, and upon thy gates, that your days may be multiplied as the days of your children, in the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers to give them, as the days of heaven upon the earth. For if ye shall diligently keep all these commandments which I command you to do them, to love the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, and to cleave unto him, then will the Lord drive out all these nations from before you, and ye shall possess greater nations and mightier than yourselves. Every place whereon the soles of your feet shall tread shall be yours, from the wilderness and Lebanon, from the river Euphrates, even unto the uttermost sea shall be your coast. There shall no man be able to stand before you, for the Lord your God shall lay the fear of you and the dread of you upon all the land that ye shall tread upon, as he has said unto you. Ending the reading at verse 25. Our great responsibility to our children, and the text that will launch us into the subject, is verse 19 of this passage. Ye shall teach them your children, speaking of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, this is your word. Your word that was set before the children of Israel prior to their entering into the land of promise. And we know that your word still stands true for today. And the application of what is here for our hearts is the same when it comes to the mammoth responsibilities that we have for the upcoming generation and for the children. I want to acknowledge the fact that to this church you have gifted many children in the congregation as families, but also those that come from outside the congregation to sit beneath your word. And Lord, we're coming to pray about these things tonight. We're coming to face up to our responsibilities as a church, as families, when it comes to our offspring and the children of today. We pray, Lord, that the distractions will be taken away, that our thoughts will be focused, and that the Lord himself will speak to every waiting heart. Lord, speak to me tonight, even as I preach your word. And we pray that you'll speak to my brethren and sisters who sit here. And may this be a good night, and may we be prepared for the place of prayer and supplication. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. One of the greatest blessings of life is family. It's having children. And I think of the Psalm 127, and at the end of that Psalm, the final two verses, as arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. Now with this comes grave responsibilities. We have prayed already tonight about the solemnity of what it is to have children, the responsibility, the mammoth responsibility of having children in our families. And as we bring our children into this world, God has given to us solemn duties. We have no greater responsibility than to lead our children in the paths of righteousness, to win them for the Lord, and to bring them to heaven. If you do nothing else for your family in this life but bring them to heaven, you will have done the greatest thing that you can ever do as a parent. Or if we apply that to church life, to bring the little ones to heaven that God has given to us here at Hebron. This is all applicable both to church life and to the children that God has given to us and families into our charge. And one day we're going to stand before the Lord. We always should keep that in mind. One day we're going to give an account as to how we have discharged this solemn responsibility. And we want to be able to say words like we have in Isaiah chapter 8 and verse 18. Behold, I and the children whom the Lord hath given me. And I have seen this in a family context. I have seen this in church life. I have seen this in missionary work. I know that it is the desire of every Christian parent, or it ought to be. It is the desire of every children's worker. And it is the desire of every missionary and every preacher. When we think of the great day when we come to stand before God, to be able to say something like this, behold, I am the children whom the Lord hath given me. Now, as we think of our great responsibility to our children, there are three things that I want to mention to you, three important responsibilities. And the first one is the communication of God's word. These words in Deuteronomy are most applicable and solemn to every parent, to every Sunday school teacher, to every children's worker. For God, through Moses, is spelling it out very clearly what our duty is to the upcoming generation. And we have read it here in verse 19. We are to teach them. What are we to teach? Well, you need to go back to the previous verse in verse 18. Therefore shall ye lay up these my words in your heart and in your soul. These my words. It's teaching them God's word. Teach them to your children. And how do you do this? What opportunities should you take, speaking of them, when thou sittest in thine house? I want every parent to listen to this. It's a familiar text. It's one that you're so familiar with tonight. But I want you to sit up and listen as you communicate God's words to the children of your home. When thou sittest in thine house, when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, when thou risest up. You read a verse like this and you just say, well, every conceivable opportunity should be taken. When you're sitting in your home, there's the family altar, isn't it? When we sit with our children and we teach them the things of God, the Word of God is opened every day. The Word of God is at least read, and when explanation can be given, it ought to be given, an exhortation to the children how they are to live in this present evil world when you're sitting there in your house. When you're walking, by the way, in the modern day you could put the car there. When you're driving, by the way, they didn't have cars back in Bible times, but when you're out together as a family, whether it's out walking, driving, whatever way you're traveling, when you're sitting there or walking with your children, again, teach them the things of God. Last thing at night, first thing in the morning, when they lie down, never let a night go by, but you pray and you read with your children. When you start the day, when you rise up in the morning, let there be some time before they go out into an evil world that you take time to set before them God's words, that those words might be in their mind and in their heart as they go to school, or even older children when they go out into the workplace. Deuteronomy is the second edition of the law. I think you know that. The law was given almost 40 years previously, particularly at Mount Sinai, when the commandments were given and the extended laws of God were given to the children of Israel. 40 years have passed by. We have had the wanderings of the children of Israel through the wilderness. Now they're standing on the borders of the promised land. They're about to take possession of that which God had promised. The law needed to be set before them again. So Deuteronomy is the second edition of the law, 40 years later. And what Moses is doing, he is setting before the children of Israel those responsibilities that they had if they're going to inherit the land. He's setting before them those things that they must obey if they're going to enjoy the promised land. And so this is why the law of God is given and explained once more. Look at this chapter. Think about what we've read. We are to love the Lord our God. That's the first and the great commandment, isn't it? We're to love him with all our heart and with all our soul. We're not only to love the Lord, we're to keep his commandments. It's all here. God has given commandments for our happiness in this world. And it is in the keeping of those commandments that we will enjoy the blessings of this world. We are not only to love the Lord and keep his commandments, but they're told to go in and possess the land. The land is filled with other nations. The land is filled with enemies. And yet they're going to take possession of that. And God wants us, in a spiritual sense, to possess the land as well for his glory, to take what ground we can from the great enemy, even from the devil. And they are to serve him with all their heart and with all their soul. There's no other way to serve the Lord but this way. Maybe you can say tonight, I serve the Lord. But do you do it with all your heart and with all your soul? You put everything into it. That's the best way to serve the Lord, and that's the way to blessing. Because I want you to note verse 18. Therefore shall ye lay up these my words in your heart and in your soul, and bind them for a sign upon your hand, that they may be as frontlets between your eyes. In other words, God's word is always to be before you. And then we have, from verse 18 onwards, the responsibility. Once you've laid up God's words in your heart, here's your responsibility now to your family and to the upcoming generation. Verse 19, teach them your children, speaking of them, when thou sittest in thine house, walkest by the way, liest down, risest up. And thou shalt write them upon the door posts of thine house and upon thy gates, that your days may be multiplied, and the days of your children in the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers to give them, as days of heaven upon the earth. Wouldn't you like days like that? Days of blessing. Days of heaven upon the earth. What heaven is going to be like, to have a little bit of enjoyment of glory now here upon the earth. Well, you can have it. As you have God's words before you, as you seek to teach them to your children and to bring them up in the ways of Almighty God. Look at the next verse. That your days may be multiplied, verse 21. And the days of your children in the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers to give them, as the days of heaven upon the earth. For ye shall diligently keep all these commandments which I command you, to do them, to love the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, to cleave unto him. Then will the Lord drive out all these nations from before you. And ye shall possess greater nations and mightier than yourselves. Every place whereon the soles of your feet shall tread shall be yours. And it gives a little bit of the geography of that land that Israel would possess. Verse 25, no man shall be able to stand before you. And I think we should take in verse 26 as well that we didn't read. Behold, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse. And when you read the next two verses, the blessing is obedience and the curse is disobedience. You seek to live by the grace of God this way. Bring up your family in the right way. Teach them the commandments of God. And you're going to enjoy that which God has for you upon the earth. You're going to have a little foretaste of what heaven is going to be like. No man will be able to stand before you. You will be invincible in the work of the Lord, and you will know the blessing of which this passage of Scripture tells us about. Now, Solomon, I think he re-echoes this duty in Proverbs 22 and verse 6. Train up a child in the way that he should go. There's another word that sounds a little bit like should and is would, and there's a vast difference. We're not to train up our children in the way that they would go, because the way that they would go is not the way that they should go. We are to train them up in the way that they should go, so that when they're old, and that doesn't mean when they're 80 or 90, when they're maturer, when they're older, they will not depart from it. That's the promise that God has given. We believe in home religion. We believe in following what Deuteronomy 11 tells us, what Solomon tells us in Proverbs 22 and verse 6. We believe that we ought to be Joshua's in this world when he says, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." That's the kind of family that we want to be. The demoniac of Gadara, as soon as he was delivered from the power of satanic bondage, he was told to go home and tell them the great things that God had done for him. And I'm setting this before you tonight, men and women, parents that are here, workers in the church, any of you who have influence over the children, this is our responsibility, the communication of God's word. So important if we're to know God's blessing. Secondly, there is the reflection of God's character. What is our responsibility to our children? Not only to teach them God's word, but we are to reflect in our lives what Christ is. Do I need to remind you that Christ died so that we might be conformed to his holy image, so that we might reflect his glory? There's two very important verses. I want to read them to you. You can turn to them if you like. The first one is Romans chapter 8 and verse 29. Romans 8, verse 29. After that beautiful verse, it reminds us that all things work together for good to them that love God and to them who were called according to his purpose. We have this verse. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Now you want to mark that. You want to mark that carefully in your Bible. He predestinated you and I as Christians to be conformed to the image of his Son. We are to be like Christ. We are to reflect everything by the grace of God in our lives that Jesus Christ is. The other verse is 2 Corinthians and the chapter 3 and verse 18. But we all with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, and mark this sentence or this phrase, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Changed into the same image as what? As the Lord. We're looking at Christ. Our gaze is upon Christ. And we're gazing so much upon him that we now become like the Lord. We are changed into the same image as he is. There is nothing as powerful as a godly witness and a bright and a shining testimony. John the Baptist was that. Isn't that how he was described? He was a shining man in his day, as a man of God, a burning and a shining light. In the home, we are to be like this as we bring up our children. In the church, we are to certainly be like this, especially before the upcoming generation. Our life, our example, our witness, all that we are should be for God and for the glory of God. We are the letter that they read. The Bible speaks in such terms as being living epistles. You write the epistles, we have a number of them in the New Testament. These are written epistles, written letters. In the modern day, you write your epistle, it's probably now by email in most times, or maybe by text, but you're writing it. We are the living ones. We are the ones that are read. You can read an epistle in black and white on the page, but there are the children watching your life, scrutinizing your life, and you're that letter before them. You're the letter that they read. You are the example that they follow, the standard of holiness that they observe. Children walk in the footsteps of their parents. And teachers, you are a role model in the life of your Sunday school class, which they follow. In the Bible, we have those that were evil influences. We have those that were good influences. Just a few of the evil influences. I'll give you a couple of examples. First of all, in 1 Kings chapter 22 and verse 52, almost at the end of the book, a man by the name of Ahaziah. And the second example I'm going to give you is a man by the name of Ahaziah. But they're two different men, okay? Two different men. There's more than two Davids here tonight. There's maybe more than two Johns here tonight. And there were more than two Ahazias, or more than one Ahaziah in the Bible. This first man was the son of Ahab and Jezebel. And here we're told that he did evil in the sight of the Lord, and he walked in the way of his father, and in the way of his mother, and in the way of Jeroboam, which was another influence in his life, Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, who made Israel to sin. That was the example that he followed. An evil example, found in his mother, found in his father, and found in also Jeroboam, who made Israel to sin. This man was the eighth king of the northern kingdom of Israel, and he turned out to be a wicked man who walked the way of his parents. You don't want to be like that as parents. The other Ahaziah we read about in 2 Chronicles chapter 22 and verse 52. And this time it's the son of Jehoram and Athaliah. 2 Chronicles chapter 22 and verse 3. He also walked in the ways of the house of Ahab, for his mother was his counselor to do wickedly. I wonder what mothers counsel their children in today. Of course, we're Christian mothers here tonight in this meeting, and I trust and pray before God that it's a good counsel that you give. Here's a mother, and her counsel was to lead her son in the paths of evil. The advice that she was giving to her child, notably this young man as he grew up, was that of wickedness and evil, to walk in the paths of sin. I trust that no mother is like that. He was the sixth king of Judah. He was 42 when he came to the throne, and he only reigned 1 year. He was so wicked, God just removed him from the throne. Some men, especially godly men, had long reigns, but this man not so. God just removed him. And the influence in his life particularly was his mother. Evil influences. But we have godly influences. For example, in the life of Jehoshaphat, and in 2 Chronicles, and the chapter 17, and verses 3 and 4, we read this. The Lord was with Jehoshaphat because he walked in the first ways of his father David, and sought not unto Balaam, but sought to the Lord God of his father, and walked in his commandments, and not after the doings of Israel. I think the passage here is self-explanatory. A man that had a good influence in his life, in godly parentage, and even David a little bit beyond that, but he was brought up under the influence of good, and consequently Jehoshaphat turned out to be a godly young man, and a godly young man that came to the throne. Another is Uzziah, 2 Chronicles again, this time chapter 26 and verse 4. Just mark it there. He did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his father Amaziah did. Amaziah set the good example. And here's a young man, walks in his steps, follows his way. That's what you want to be. Every father, every grandfather, and every church worker, you want to be that good example. Can I give you one other this time from the New Testament? I couldn't pass over Timothy and the influences in his life, not from his father this time. His father was a Gentile, he was a Greek. We're not sure whether he was even a converted man, but he had a godly mother and he had a godly grandmother, as we know. And so we read in 2 Timothy 1 and 5, as Paul writes to him, "When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and in thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded in thee also." A godly grandmother, godly mother, and that was the sweet influence in the life of young Timothy as he grew up and he came to know the Lord and he became a great preacher and a worker for Jesus Christ. A godly influence. So I'm saying to you, when we think about our responsibilities to our children, in the second place, there must be this reflection of God's character. Let the beauty of Jesus be seen in us. Thirdly, our responsibilities to our children, the supplication at God's throne. We have solemn duties to pray for our children, to pray for our families. We're going to take that up later on this evening at 10 o'clock. We're going to concentrate our thoughts upon our homes. But I was thinking about the examples that we have in the scripture. Let me give them to you very quickly. First of all, we have Abraham for Ishmael in Genesis chapter 17 and verse 18. Abraham said unto God, "Oh, that Ishmael might live before thee." One of the blessing of God to be upon the life of this young man. Isaac was going to be the true seed of God that would eventually bring in the blessing of God to the world through Christ. But here's a man that's outside the immediate family. Another child, as we know, born to Hagar. And the prayer of this godly father is, let him live before God. And when you think about that spiritually, and that must be the application for you and I as fathers and mothers, let them live. Don't let them die. Don't let them die in their sin. Don't let them die without the Lord. Oh, bring them to the life of the gospel. Bring about the work of regeneration in their hearts and lives. Make that a prayer, dear Father, for your Ishmael, for your wandering child, for your child that has gone astray. Let them live before God. I think of David for Solomon in 1 Chronicles chapter 29 and verse 19. "Give unto Solomon, my son, a perfect heart, to keep thy commandments, thy testimonies, and thy statutes, and to do all these things, and to build the palace for the which I have made provision." As we know, when you come to the end of this book, David's on his deathbed. He's soon to leave this life. One of the uppermost things in his mind was how he was going to be succeeded on the throne and how it would be for Solomon. And there's much instruction to give to his successor, to his son Solomon, as he thinks of what his great task would be in the building of the house of God and obviously coming to the throne of Israel to govern. And he's praying for Solomon. And he's praying that Solomon would live a godly life, really, a perfect heart, keep the commandments, the testimonies, the statutes, do all these things. When you've prayed, Lord, let my son live. Bring him to the Lord. Make sure that he's saved. Then you want to pray, Lord, make him obedient. Help him to walk according to the laws and the commandments of God. We have Job who prayed for his children. This godly man, what an example Job is in verse 5, thinking about the children that God had given to him when they went out feasting. Job sent and sanctified them. He rose up early in the morning. I wonder how many fathers rise up early in the morning to intercede for their children. This perfect man did, this godly man did. He rose up early in the morning, offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, it may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. Thus did Job continually. Not just a one-off getting up early, but continually. Rising up, coming before God, offering the sacrifices, which is the way of acceptance in the Old Testament, and remembering his children before the Almighty. A great example to follow. And then just one other example in the New Testament, if you turn to Matthew and the chapter 17. And mark with me, verse 15. The father for his demoniac son. Matthew 17 and verse 15. Lord, have mercy on my son. As we think of our supplication at God's throne for our children, Lord, have mercy on my son. He's a lunatic, sore vexed. Oftentimes he falleth into the fire and oft into the water. And as we know from our studies in Mark, Mark elaborates that a little bit more in Mark chapter 9 and verse 22. Oftentimes they have cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. And further to his prayer, we have verse 24. The father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. I'm giving you these tonight by way of examples. Fathers that were concerned for their children and that brought them to prayer, to supplicate the throne. May God give us praying fathers, praying mothers, praying family members. May he be pleased to give us praying Sunday school teachers and praying children's workers. May he never look down into your family and into your life or into this church and wonder, where are the praying people of God? Where are the interceders? The people that ought to be pleading with me on behalf of the children. Who will be found faithful unto God in their life of prayer and our great responsibility for our children? So may God write these things upon our hearts tonight for Jesus' sake. There must be the communication of God's word, the reflection of God's character, and the supplication at God's throne. And when you have those three things together, I tell you, the blessing of God will not be far away in your family. May God help us by his grace to live this way. Still a lot going on in your country, and the warring has not ceased, and the fighting rages, and so we continue to pray for Ukraine, and I hope that everyone is bringing this matter to God every day. On an encouraging note, we have this little project for the shoes, and I've just put them at the back there. We'll not keep them there, but I want you to see what has come in. And this is not including the schools that have contributed, but just various contributions that have been made, a bag brought by somebody, another bag brought by somebody else. There was a lady who is outside this congregation. She bought a couple of new pair for the children. We didn't ask for new pairs, but some of these folks have been very kind and generous. There's another family bought 14 pair of new shoes and gave a little gift as well to send them out. And there was another couple who brought in a big bag of new shoes that they had purchased in one of the shops. There was a dear old man, an old friend of mine, lives up country, and he went into a second-hand shop and he bought up 100 pairs of shoes. He got them very cheap, mind you, but he bought them up. He had to pay for them and he sent them up to us. And there was another mother who brought a bag full of new shoes. So we're thankful to those that have been involved. Today has been a travelling day for this family. This is the Reverend Kerskadden and his family, and they've set out on their journey to Uganda. They'll be joining our sister Noreen there in the work of the Lord. Next week, David will be going this day week over to Uganda with the VBS team. So there's a team of young people, different ones going out to conduct a VBS with the children and also a youth conference. So pray for David as he becomes part of that team next week. And we continue to pray for those here in the church that need the Lord's touch in their lives. Tonight we're praying for our children, and there is a prayer in the form of a hymn that we've sung before, and I want to sing it again tonight as we come to the Lord. 749, God of mercy, hear our prayer for the children thou hast given. Let them all thy blessings share, grace on earth and bliss in heaven. We're going to stand and sing this. This will be our first prayer tonight for our children in song. Let every single Christian pray it and mean it with all of your heart. You may be seated. In a moment or two, we will say good night to those that are listening in. But here are the prayer requests. And as we think of our children's ministry, we pray for Sunday school. It's coming to an end this term. But pray for the children, pray for the superintendent, our brother Wesley here, and the teachers who come in faithfully every week. Pray for this coming Lord's Day. It's Children's Day. We look forward to the boys and girls taking part. Remember those who will speak. Pray also for the safety of the children over the summer and that they will return for the new term in September. And then we think of what happens here on a Monday morning, but it's now closed up for the summer, and that's the Hebron Tots You pray over the seed that has been sown this term as these little ones have come in, and parents and guardians likewise that have heard the word, that that will be a stepping stone to Christ. Pray for the school's ministry. Again, this will be coming to an end for the summer because the children get off for July and August. There's one more next week that Greg will be speaking in Kilcrow on the Wednesday morning. So remember that as the final one as far as we know. Romania VBS, 5 weeks today in the will of God, from the 20th to the 29th. That's 8 nights, 10 days, including the travel. So we want you to pray for that as we work among the children. Summer Youth Challenge is from the 7th to the 11th of August. Remember Andrew and the leaders as they prepare for it. And then the Sunday School Camp at the end of August 25th to the 27th. So we're going to say goodnight to our listeners on the internet. We come to our season of prayer. May the Lord be pleased to bless you. And may you go to prayer as well and remember the children's work. Thank you.